more. A simple word that relays a simple concept. More. You probably encounter this word every day, whether the sound of it spoken or the concept of it as a thought. And you probably don't give it much thought. It's a simple word. More. But this very simple word carries great power in the Lorvik home right now, as it is the first word that young Grace Elizabeth is able to communicate. Not spoken, but signed. More. Tapping her hands together when she is ready or wanting another serving, another opportunity, when she desires more. You know, I was amazed by baby sign with our oldest, and once again captivated by a baby's ability to communicate before speech is possible. Infants certainly broadcast needs or feelings through crying and grunting and making faces. I mean, they may be attempting communication, but let's be honest, we are not communicating. The enthusiasm, the excitement, the awestruck wonder in a child's face when they can, for the first time, tell you what they want in a way they know you understand is indescribable. I said it, and you understood it. I swear, there are times that she signs more. Not because she wants more of something, but because she loves being able to tell us something and watch us respond. Look, they did it again. Look, they did it again. Look, they did it again. You see, she, though it does not require spoken words or audible sounds, Grace is beginning to find her voice. And it started with a single word, more. I mean, each of us were at this place once upon a time. I mean, have you thought about that? Whether it was signed or spoken, we all had a moment of being understood for the very first time. And after that moment of being understood, we then spend a lifetime finding our voice. Not building our vocabulary, not developing the timbre of our vocal cords, but finding the identity, the power, and the purpose of our own expression, our voice. And for all of our efforts to find our voice, it's this weird thing that at the same time, we're also spending a lifetime picking up the subtle and not so subtle societal cues that tell us to be quiet. Society, especially a society in which some benefit while others do not, a society in which for many complacency leads to greater comfort. Society looks at so many of us developing our voice with the compassion of a disgruntled librarian. Shh. But I'm finding my shh. Voice, shh. Because voices disrupt. Voices speak out. Voices resist and challenge. Voices interrupt the monotony. Voices change things. It has been said that progress in America has often come from the agitation of ordinary people, heartbroken people who would not settle for the status quo. That's how Parker Palmer describes the power of voice in democracy. This week, we're invited to generate a sense of personal voice and agency. It's one of the habits of the heart that can heal the heart of democracy. You see, laws don't change things. The habits of those living do. That's why Parker Palmer, when he wrote this book 6 years ago, focused on habits that we can live, because that's the only way things change. He, and I with him, he believes that there is something greater possible in our country, that we, the people, can develop a politic worthy of the human soul. And this isn't just a governmental politic, but a relational and societal way of being together as people. I mean, politics is just a fancy word for anything and everything that shapes our life together as people. And there is a lot shaping our life together that leaves something to be desired. You know, I look around at the bitterness and the cynicism, the judgment, the hatred, the division. I look at what is currently being offered to us in this world, and I want more than what's being offered. I want something more. I want something more being offered by those who have been elected and those who ran against them. I want something more than what is being reported in the news and commented on the blogs and being shared on Facebook by people who are only seeking agreement with their jaded ideologies. There must be something more. Do you know this longing I speak of? Do you want more? This is where we begin today. And it's also where our scripture begins. Ezekiel was a prophet, someone called by God to speak a good word to God's people. You see, in Ezekiel's time, God's people were in exile. Their leadership had been supplanted by a different agenda. Their vision of what could have been was taken from them. They found themselves weeping, wondering how on earth this happened and what were they going to do next. They felt as if they'd been torn apart with no hope for the future. Ezekiel knew this was the pain of the people to whom he spoke. He knew their reality, and he struggled to believe he could say anything in such dire straits. How can you look at a world in that situation and believe there's anything you could say that would make a difference? God, what do I say? And then he had a vision. Hear these words from Ezekiel. The Lord's power overcame me. And while I was in the Lord's Spirit, by the way, what a great phrase is that? While I was in the Lord's Spirit, the Lord led me out and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw there were a great many bones all across the valley floor, and they were very dry. And the Lord asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" And I said, "Lord God, only you know." And the Lord said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinew on you, place flesh upon you, cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just what I was commanded, and there was a great noise as I was prophesying. Then a great quaking, and then the bones came together, bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there was sinew upon them, and then flesh appeared, and they were covered over with skin, but there was still no breath in them. And the Lord said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds and breathe, breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and they stood upon their feet, an extraordinarily large company of beings. He said to me, 'Human one, these bones are the entire house and people of Israel. For they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished. So now, prophesy and say to the people, the Lord God proclaims, I am opening your graves. I will raise you up, my people, and I will bring you to the fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open life to you and raise you up, my people. I will put my breath in you and you will live. I will plant you in the fertile land, and you will always know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord says." I love that story because it's honest, it's powerful, and it's hopeful. You see, when I look at the state of our states today, the political realities of America, when I see rights being taken away from GLBTQ people, when I see women being devalued, when I see the tired, poor, huddled masses being told to get out, when I see the environment being sacrificed for profits, when I see sick people being abandoned, when I see racism running amok, it feels as if we are standing in a valley of dried up bones, surrounded by the picked over carcasses of what our founders believed this country was possible, believing what democracy was capable of. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are completely finished. But the Lord says, I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. These are God's words for us. These are God's words to you. So speak. Find your voice. Tap into the God-given gift within you and speak. Prophecy over the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear a good word from the Lord. This is our invitation to bring forth into the world the Lord's word of hope, the Lord's word of possibility, the Lord's word of more. To do so, we must find our voices, our individual and collective voices that at best have been drowned out by a cacophony of chaos, and at worst have knowingly or unknowingly been let go silent. We are invited to more. We, like Ezekiel, are invited to speak a prophetic word that will bring forth life. Another one of my favorite authors, Walter Brueggemann, described the prophetic voice well when he advised that prophetic words are not optimism. They are hopeful. You see, there's a difference between optimism and hope. One tries to dress up what's currently happening as okay. One casts a vision of what is possible. You see, in that valley of dry bones, an optimistic word would have been, it's okay, bones. The sun's actually cleaned you up quite nicely. Your calcium-rich structure is enduring well. The way you're scattered is quite artistic and very intriguing. That's an optimistic word in a valley of bones. And I tell you, it brings forth nothing. It's placating. It's filled with denial. It has no voice. What God is asking is for us to remind the world of what is possible. Tell the bones, I will put them back together. Tell them, I will give them breath and life. You, us, we are capable of bringing this word of hope and possibility. In fact, your voice is the only thing that can. Your voice, joined with hers and his and theirs and ours, all of them together. Yes, our voices are needed to generate voice and agency, not only in this gathered community, but in the world around us. Our voices are needed to assist those who have had their voices taken from them. Those who, through violence, oppression, and marginalization, have watched their voices be silenced. We're not only invited to speak our own, but to also create space for other voices to join with us. Now, sometimes our voices are not in perfect harmony, but that doesn't mean we cannot lift them together. And sometimes our words are different, but that does not mean we cannot discover truths that transcend our vocabulary. In conversations over coffee, in discussions over dinner, in talks on walks, and in posts on Facebook, let us speak a hope that cannot be ignored. In phone calls, in ballots, in rallies, in marches, let our voices reach a volume that cannot be ignored. Because voices disrupt. Voices resist and challenge. Voices interrupt the monotony. Voices, your voices, can change things. Progress in America has often come from the agitation of ordinary, heartbroken people. People who would not settle for the status quo. Let us not settle for the status quo of these dry bones. For the Lord says, I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. Amen.